Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 48 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Cloudy. 48 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Cloudy. 48 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Cloudy. 48 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Cloudy. 49 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Cloudy. 49 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Cloudy. 48 degrees.
W8FU.
Got an early one going this morning, huh? K8RUH.
Yeah, the sign shop's gonna come mark our parking lot. So they asked for the spots that I need marked to be clear. So I'm gonna get there early so that if there's any construction guys, I can tell them nope. Because usually if they park in my spots, then I don't see them until the end of the day. They go over to the job site and that's the last I see them. So today I need the spots clear at 8 a.m. So gotta catch them before they get there.
Got ya. Will they paint even with the ground wet like this?
The painting's done, but it's still not working. They're still parking in our spots. So either the message isn't getting... I think what's happening is there's such a turnover of contractors in that building. You know, like, you know, they tell this group, and then next week it's a whole different group of contractors in there, you know? And that's only going to get worse as the thing gets closer to, you know, when they start getting to the interior. Right now it's just all outside construction, so it's the same rough crew, you know? And but every week there's a new group of guys, and they're all real cool about it. Oh, yeah, we didn't know. But it's like every single week there's a whole new bunch of guys that don't know that they didn't get the message. So I'm having signs put up, so our sign shop is going to actually, you know, now it'll be obvious, you know, we won't have to say anything.
Well, that's good. One more check in the box to make it hopefully happen the right way.
Yeah, the guys are teasing me. They're going to get me a meter made cap, and, you know, I'm the parking lot Nazi, and I'm getting all sorts of crap from the guys over this.
They can tease you all they want, but you're just trying to have good parking spots for them.
They know that. They're complaining all the time. They come in, it's like, you know, Jesus Christ, they have to park, you know, clear over there by... You know, by JJC, and I'm like, you know, I go out and I look, I'm like, son of a bitch, so I pitch a bitch with the the construction crew and then our facilities and operation, and yeah, it's they're the ones that are complaining. You know, and then, you know, our customers, quote unquote, you know, they have to be able to get near the garage. They can't be parking, you know, two blocks over, you know. Where did you park, you know, 121? Oh, it's somewhere out there, you know, it's like go out searching, you know. Oh, there it is, way over there, you know, it's like can't be having that. We're pulling them in and out of the garage for work all the time.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. You have to walk half a mile to get the vehicle you're supposed to be working on. That's no fun.
Well, then that costs money, right? Because, you know, time is money, right? It's like if we're wasting all sorts of time, you know, with the parking lot situation, we can't be focusing on doing the work.
Yep. So, what are you doing with your day off on Friday? Anything fun?
Nah, no real plans. I got the antenna on the air yesterday, got it all done, and I have an absolutely horrific S9 noise floor, just constantly. I got on the sideband net last night. I could only hear a few people. I couldn't hear anybody. I used to be dead quiet, and I could hear, you know, people that were, you know, miles and miles away. You know, they were asked nothing, but I could hear them just fine. Now I've got this horrific S9 noise floor, and I can't hear anything. I tried to work Dakota. I couldn't hear him. What was really weird was on the 9700, he could hear me pretty well, but I couldn't hear him at all. And on the other antenna, on the other radio, I could hear him, but he couldn't hear me at all. So it's like very weird.
That is pretty odd. I wonder why that is. But, you know, I don't know if the grandkids are going, but there's a Santa Claus parade, Christmas parade, on Kirchhoff on Friday.
I don't know. I'll have to ask. You know, which is in the city or... Probably in the, well, either it's going to be in the city or the, park, I'm guessing. They don't generally do stuff like that in the, woods, shores, or, but, I'm guessing probably in the city.
Yeah, it goes right through, the village and on the hill there, so... It's a pretty good parade. It has been throughout the years. I think I'm going. We'll see. My wife has a funeral to go to, but I think my daughter wants to go if we can take one of her friends.
There you go. How old's your daughter?
She is about to be 12.
Okay, my grandson's age. My granddaughter's a little younger, I will see. That sounds good, and we'll give you a call if we're going to make it.
Yeah, for sure. Let me know. I mean, there's only so much real estate you can stand in, so it's, you know, probably be somewhere nearby each other. We typically like to go in the neighborhood there between... the hill and the village, there's just a few less people. I think last year we stood on the hill by, what's that hospital there? Is it Cottage, maybe? I don't know what it is, but right there. And it's a good parade. It's 30, 45 minutes, and and they have some good floats. Fun way to get the holidays kicked off.
Yeah, sounds like it. I'm sure my kids know about it. So, well, I'll ask them. We'll see what the plans are there. Chances are they are already going. If they're going, I'm surprised they hadn't heard of it. It's, can't possibly be they don't know of it. Hell, they're two blocks from there.
Yeah, there is a super low probability that they don't know about it. It's like, you know, it's the talk of the town.
The uppers. Oh, man. I gotta get me some coffee. And, boy, I'll tell you what, this noise thing. I think what I'm gonna do, I really gotta tear my station apart to do it, but I think I'm gonna switch antennas. I'm gonna put the one antenna. Well, I'm just going to switch them and see if the noise, because I don't think I see that noise on the other radio, but it's a FM rig, so it doesn't really have an S meter per se, like not like the 9700. So, you know, I can't put it in sideband mode to really, really be able to analyze it. But, you know, the fact that I could hear Dakota on that one and not on the other one, makes me wonder if I don't have that noise on that one. So that would be weird if that's the case.
Man, you guys have me so curious with all this sideband stuff. I gotta see if I can find a sideband radio to play with.
Yeah, the problem with sideband is the radios are pricey. You know, every once in a while one will pop up, like an ICOM 275 or 275H, which is a specific, you know, sideband rig. Every once in a while, I think there's one of those listed right now somewhere. I can't remember where I saw it. That was a classic. And then there was the Kenwood 751. That was pretty cool radio. I've got one of those. It was an old mobile, but they're trouble prone. They have bad volume controls and they're unobtainable and other issues, but a pretty cool little radio. ICOM 736s are really cool. They're multi-band. They're usually VHF, UHF, and then you can add one or two additional bands. Can't remember how many additional bands you can add. So a lot of guys load them up with like 220 and, you know, 6 meter or 1296. Well, 6 usually you get on your HF rig, so. But you got to keep your eye peeled because there's just, you know, there's just not as many of those as FM rigs, and they're usually sought after.
Yeah, I'll start keeping an eye out, and actually, I'm hoping to make it to that swap in, what is that, 2 weeks over there in Troy. I actually thought about getting a table and selling some computers and some of my radio stuff that I'm not using.
That's not a bad idea. I know you got a lot of really good stuff that, you know, computer-wise, that ought to be sales marketable. So that would work. You ever been to a swap, a radio swap at all?
Yeah, I've been to the one over there in Troy once or twice before. And then have been to the, the Livonia Club puts one on in the winter maybe. And I've been to that one twice, I think.
Oh, okay. You're a seasoned vet then. Very good. Yeah, that Lance Cruz one's the last decent one over on this side of town. And, the venue's pretty good. I went through the first couple of years. I understand it's down a little, as they all are. You know, you can't get around the internet factor. So many people are buying and selling on the internet. So many vendors are not bothering to come set up. You know, it's just not necessary anymore. You need odds and ends and connectors, you know, things like that. You just go to Amazon and have it in the morning. So I think that's the biggest thing that's killing swaps, is just not really needed. But if you're an individual and you just want to sell a bunch of gear and all that stuff, it's hard to beat, really. But it's a different, you got a pretty select group. You know, it's like if you post your widget for sale on QRZ or something like that, you know, people looking for widgets are going to be perusing it, and you know, likelihood that you meet up and sell is pretty good. But if you go to that swap with a widget, you know, and the guy goes there looking for a globulator, you know, you got a buyer and a seller, but never the two shall meet.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll walk through regardless. I just got to decide if I want to put the, you know, 6 hours, 7 hours into it that day. There was, I think it was last year or maybe the year before, I can't remember what group did it. They did it at the Bruce Post VFW Hall on Jefferson. And that one, it was okay. There was a couple clubs there and a, you know, enough vendors to fill the room, nothing remarkable, but it was, you know, it was cool that somebody was doing it literally on the east side.
Got to get one of those about that one. I wonder who that was. Interesting. So, the only thing I've been to the Bruce Post for is, a gun and knife show. Do you have a gun and knife show, or is it a military memorabilia show? I don't know, one of those. But I've been there a couple of times for that.
Somebody doubled with you. Go ahead, breaking station.
Good morning. Just said you need to get you one of those sideband rigs.
That's what we're just talking about. I was telling Sean, you guys got me thinking about it. I got to get one. He was explaining that there's some older radios out there that mobile rig style that are sideband. Otherwise, you got to get into some pretty expensive shack-in-the-box style radios.
Morning. Yeah, that's another one. I wasn't even considering that, but the Shack in the Box will do it too. Now there you can make the justification saying that, you know, well, I want an HF rig anyhow, so this is going to be my HF rig. I'm going to buy like a 991A, you know, and then you sell whatever you got. And then there's a way to get your all mode without, you know, specifically buying an all mode. So anyhow, good morning, Dakota.
I was just going to say those 991s have been popping up left and right on Marketplace for like $500 to $600. Now, I think you're rolling dice from what I've heard on those things. But if you can be patient and maybe snipe an 857, I've been seeing a couple of those pop up on Marketplace too. Not Marketplace, but like the buy-sell trade groups. So maybe one of those, 706, which for some reason are always way overpriced, or 7,000, there's a lot of those popping up too. I don't know. Whatever fits the bill, I guess. But, man, I love it. I was on the sideband net last night. I had to jump off a little early because sick kids and whatnot. But it's cool being able to simplex dudes that are 50 miles away.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. And sounds like a very useful tool. to be able to talk simplex that far sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Dakota, this noise I got is driving me up the wall. I have no idea where it's coming from. I tried it this morning when the whole house was shut down, and it's still there, bigger than you know what. It's like S9 and noise. And, I was usually dead quiet when I last was on the air. Different antenna, but this different coax, but same exact mount, same exact height, same exact place. And now it's been a couple of years, since I've had that radio on. But I was dead quiet, like S0. And I would hear people just barely, budging a needle. Sometimes they were S0, and I could hear them just fine, and now it's terrible. I couldn't hear but maybe two people. I could hear the two Canadians pretty well, and KIAM, I could hear him pretty well, okay, but just absolutely unusable. So I gotta figure out what this is and get it resolved, or else it's just a big waste of time, because I won't ever turn the thing on.
I'm a bit perplexed as to what's going on. The fact that we could hear each other on different radios, vice versa, I don't quite get that. I don't know that it would be I want to say it's a radio issue. Because if you're getting out on it, it's not the antenna.
You guys are troubleshooting beyond my pay grade now. I'm almost to work, so I'll continue listening. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving. I will catch up with you soon. It's KEARUH. And if I get in the office and can get on the phone, I certainly will. But otherwise, have a good Thanksgiving. We'll catch up soon.
Later, Anthony. Happy Thanksgiving.
We'll catch you later.
Doubled, my bad. Happy Thanksgiving, Anthony. I'll catch you later. Go ahead, Sean.
No, I just said the same thing. I said, okay, we'll catch you later. But, I don't know. Part of it, I think, is that noise floor. The radio that you can hear me on is 50 watts more than the radio you couldn't hear me on. But 50 watts is only 3 dB. That's not enough to really make a difference. And I would think that antenna, would be better. It's a tad higher, and it's in front of, between you and me. It's between the other antenna and you. So why you could not hear me on that antenna, but the other one that's back a little bit farther and just a tish lower, you could hear me on. With only 3 dB difference is weird. And then I know why I couldn't hear you, because I'm guessing you're going to come in about the same to me. I think you were saying I was 3 to 5 or something like that. And my noise floor is S9. I can't hear anything.
I wonder what that noise floor is from. I know a lot of, Dave's got a bad 2-meter noise floor. Eric's got a 2-meter noise floor. I wonder if it's just new things in the area that are affecting you.
Yeah, it's something. I can pull the power to the house, and make sure it's not coming. That's the first thing you do. Just fill the power to the house and make sure it's nothing in your environment that you can control. And most of the time it is. And then if it is, you just got to go through and you got to figure out one circuit at a time what the hell is causing this. But it could be out there in the world. I don't know. Just no clue. What's weird is I was hearing you on the radio you couldn't hear me on. So clearly that one, if the noise was external, then why could I hear you on that one? That one should be picking it up as well. I'm going to probably play around, switch the antennas between the two radios, see if there's some weird thing going on there.
Yeah, that's a weird one. I wonder if something's getting into the new coax, maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. SWR, I'm assuming, was fine when you were transmitting. I'd be curious if you put another radio with a scope on that same antenna to see if the noise floor was the same. Like, if you slap, like, a 705 or a 7000 on there, if it was still S9.
That's not a bad idea. I got the 705 sitting right there, so. I don't know. It's going to take some doing. I got a real mess. The cables are all, like, hard to get to, you know, they drop back behind the desk, and I've got all sorts of crap all intertwined, so I'm going to have to probably, it's well overdue, I'm going to have to kind of rip the shack apart a little bit to get to the back of these radios and play around a little bit, so that might be my plan. Anthony was asking me about what my plans are for Friday. Maybe that's what my plans are for Friday, who knows.
Hello, Foxtrot 8, Bravo Lima, X-ray, comment.
Go ahead, comment.
Yeah, just sitting here listening to you guys. I had an issue with 2 meter noise that I hunted for months, and it ended up being a plug-in-the-wall Wi-Fi extender my neighbor had. Don't know why it did it, what the issue with it was, but one day the power went out in our neighborhood and the noise went away, and then the power came back on and I had my power still shut off and the noise came back. So I just was out talking to him one day and asked him, you know, what kind of electronics he had and stuff like that. And that's what it was. He went in the house and shut off a couple of things for me and then unplugged that Wi-Fi extender, and that was it.
So did he keep it unplugged? How did that resolve? Sean, I forgot to mention that, too. Thank you for bringing that up. That's a good point. I had a LED light in my closet that, if it was on, I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, that's, you know, after I checked the equipment and stuff like that, try a different radio, you know, just to make sure it's not the equipment or anything like that or the antenna, something like that, which, you know, I don't necessarily think it's likely. Then the next thing is check the environment, and, you know, I hate doing it, but I might kill the power to the house, see if it goes away. Then I'll know it's in my control. Or I'm looking externally, and I had one same thing. I could not use my HF rig, and I searched that for a good year, and I couldn't get on HF. Period. It was so bad, constant S9 plus 20 noise everywhere, and believe it or not, I checked it down to a Keurig machine in my kitchen, and. You know, the funny thing is I gave that Keurig machine to another ham with the warning that, hey, this thing, took out my HF, but they said they never had a problem. They never had a problem with it, so I don't know, but for me, it was, it was absolute. You know, I plug it in, the noise would just jump right up and unplug it, boom, go away, and it's like it was absolutely, verified, but, Never happened for the second owner, so go figure. But I hope it's something within my control, otherwise I got to go hunting. Now, we do have bigger properties. Nobody's next to each other. I think, we got acre properties, and I'm fairly certain it's not going to be my neighbors to the east or west for reasons. And, could be the one right across the street would be the closest one and next ones are, you know, way, way back behind me. But, you know, unless it's really, really strong. But then I can go tracking it down. I can take the 705 and hook it up in the car and see if I can go find it. Anywho, good morning, W8FU.
Oh, all right, guys, I just wanted to throw that in there. I am at my destination now, so I am going to jump out of here and do what I get to do. But, yeah, good luck with that. And I'm going to go back. I want to be clear here, KFA-DLX.
All right, have a good day. Thanks for the comment. Yeah, I forgot about that, Sean. Chasing down noise sucks. It's so frustrating. I had a hum on my clear note for no reason at all. It just went away on its own after like an hour and never came back. And I ripped everything apart, shut the breaker off, could not find anything. And same thing with when I first got out of driving, Greg and I were testing stuff. Unfortunately, I was testing with that Yagi, which probably didn't give it a fair shot. I had that closet light on in the master, because that's where the attic access is. So I had that light on. I'm like, what the hell, man? The noise has been horrendous. I can't hear. And it was because that light was on, right next to, you know, 10 feet away from the antenna. So for all I know, that's a great antenna. SWR's jack. But, yeah, good luck. Hope you can figure it out. If you want, I have a Hack RF, too. It's got, a handheld portable scope that you could bounce through all the different frequencies and whatnot. So if you want to love to use that, to give it up. Give it a go.
Yep. I'll have to see how far it goes, too. I didn't try it on 6. The antenna is 6.2 and 4.30, or 4.40, I should say. And, so I didn't really pay attention to how it was doing on the other band. Seems like it was a lot better on UHF, but I didn't try 6, so. All right. I got to get on it. That's all there is to it. Well, my parking lot is empty, so I'm good there. I'm going to camp out here for a little bit. I don't have to jump inside quite yet. I'm early. Just, they're coming to put signs in the ground, marking my spots here, and I'm sitting here just making sure that I keep everybody out of my, they wanted the whole area that they're marking clear, so I got here early to be the parking lot Nazi.
Hopefully that puts an end to the ads you deal with every day there.
Yep, I'm just tickled pink that there's nobody in the spots. We got one transport vehicle.
Good morning.
That
Zero,
has been
seven,
sitting here. I don't know how the hell it got
hours,
here. I think the mechanic put it here.
42 degrees.
We got to go get the keys for that and move it. Other than that, there's nobody in my spots. So they're going to install 3 signs for me that pretty much make it clear. So we shouldn't have to deal with it anymore.
We don't have assigned or dedicated spots at work, but I'm usually one of the first ones there. And I have a spot where I always back in, where every time I meet you. And 2 new people that think they can park there. Man, it chaps my, you know what?
Get a sign. Just put it up there and say, personnel, kick your ass, parking only.
Yeah, I realize that it is pretty early here. I was wondering why you guys were already on the air. I knew why Anthony was, but you were early. And is it just me, or was there, like, literally no traffic because it's Thanksgiving tomorrow and no one's working?
I don't know. I didn't really. I was talking to Anthony and then you and there's a BLX. I didn't recognize that one that came in. And I wasn't even paying attention to traffic, but I did seem to get up here pretty quickly. So there is that. Man, I got here a lot earlier than I thought. I beat George. He's my he's ex-military boy. He's on site at least 15 minutes before start time every day, if not 20.
Don't think the traffic's
for me.
Good morning, Tom. Sorry, I was ordering my tropical smoothie because I burned my tongue on my coffee.
Morning, Tom.
Good morning. Hey, Tom, oh, traffic is great, and blah, blah, blah. Well, I gotta get a, I gotta pass through this. Oh, wait, I don't know if school's in today. But still gotta get to Auburn Hills. Speaking of coffee, I gotta go get mine. KGO.
I wish my garage worked this every day. Being meter made. So, I've already got my coffee. Right after I called out to you guys, I took a sip of my coffee, and there was, I don't even know how I'm going to talk about it, I'll throw it out, but there was something on the lid that I inhaled and couldn't cough or spit back out, so I swallowed it. No idea what it was.
That makes me laugh, actually. I can visualize the whole thing.
I felt like Steve-O from Jackass hanging out the window trying to get it out of my throat. Came to the realization of it wasn't leaving, so dumbass. I don't know. If I took my, it's my Yeti cup with the mag slide lid, and my, I've used this coffee cup for 3 years, and it was just sitting on the sink. My wife washed it for me and grabbed it, put it on the Keurig, made a cup of black coffee, put the lid on it, and left. So I don't know what happened between the sink and my first sip, but I'm not happy about it.
Well, I'm debating on whether I want to tell you the story about my wife's coffee cup. You may not want to hear that right now.
The damage is done, man. Let's hear it.
We keep our coffee cups. We don't. We reuse them several times before they hit the wash. And she had her sitting in front of the coffee maker. And I looked in on it, and on the inside, down on the side, there's this spider. And it's kind of hanging out there. It's kind of a little hairy thing. A little bit bigger than, your normal, yellow spiders and all that stuff. Not particularly, wasn't one of them big wolf spiders or anything like that, but, And so I grabbed the cup real quick, and I don't like killing them, so I, out the window, I kind of rapped on it a few times, and he fell out into the yard and washed it out and all that stuff. But I was thinking, man, if you weren't paying attention.
That was the first thing that came to mind when I took the sip, and how you take that hot coffee sip where you inhale a little bit of air with it. That's when it happened. I'm like, what the hell was on my lid? Was that a spider? Was it another kind of bug? But I haven't seen spiders in the house, so I don't know. I don't know. I'm not super thrilled with how my day started.
Give Tom a little chance to get back in. Well, I hear spiders are protein-packed and a delicious treat.
I also heard that we eat several a year in our sleep. Oh, take that for what it's worth.
It would be funny if you could see what's the worst thing I've ingested. That I'm unaware of. You'd probably be surprised.
Or, unaware of, or you can't remember, like, from childhood, because I've watched my kids put all kinds of crap in their mouth. I'm like, you guys, for real? So I know I did the same thing when I was a kid.
Coffee, you love it.
What coffee day?
Are you
right back and grab my smoothie?
Had I do that.
Okay, Dakota, we'll catch you in a few. Why is it free coffee day?
Oh, no, I got a free coffee today because I have the Sunrise Rewards app, and I put in my loyalty ID, and what is it, after 8 cups, the next cup is free. So I got my card punched and went to pay for my coffee, and Georgie says, oh, you get a free one today. I'm like, oh, cool, be my day.
All right, that's refreshing.
I can step down into the rain.
Which smoothie did you get? It's actually not raining here, Tom. It was. I'm a peanut paradise kind of guy. I really love peanut butter. One of my go-tos.
I like peanut butter, but not in a drink. I mean, I'll have it in chocolate. You know, I eat peanut butter cups on a sandwich with honey on crackers, but never had it in a drink. I think that'd be too sweet for me. I like the something mango or the pomegranate punch. That's really good, too.
When I make smoothies at home, I always put way too much peanut butter in them. But I put peanut butter on everything I can. Peanut butter sandwiches, bagels, smoothies, bananas, you name it, ice cream. I generally don't do that. When I'm making them at home, it's usually fruit. Like, I'm big for strawberries and bananas, strawberry and blueberry. Sometimes I've got some blackberries and raspberries I throw in, although those get a little seedy. But I generally do a cup of frozen fruit, a cup of like oat milk or something like that, and a cup of fiber, whether it be bran flakes or something else. But and then a scoop of protein powder. Those were what I was doing, and those were pretty good for me. But you know, I got a sugar thing to worry about, so I got to be careful on, you know, the fruit's bad enough. And those were good because I think the fiber made up for the for all the fruit sugars, which are better sugars than the others. Now I like the peanut butter parfait one or whatever the heck it is. I'll get that. I'll generally sub the I'll either get Splenda or half Turbinado, but most of the time I'll just get Splenda. But I don't notice the difference, and it saves a lot of sugar and calories.
At least it's all healthy.
That is the biggest downfall of smoothies, especially tropical smoothies. They're loaded with sugar and calories. When I make them at home, I try to be a little bit better. I don't think I put in as much crap. I'll do like milk, scoop of Greek yogurt, and you know, a heaping scoop of peanut butter, ice, and some bananas. And that's pretty much all I put it in. It tastes close, not as good, because I don't have a schnazzy, what are those, oh man, Vitamix. I don't have a Vitamix, those sweet blenders that are $600. I just have a Ninja. But I do love my smoothies. And man, what a combination of black coffee and a peanut butter smoothie this morning. I'm on cloud nine. I do have a question for you two, and this could be a controversial topic. Do you tip on carryout for something like tropical smoothie? When I was checking out, it asked if I wanted a tip, and I put 0% because I knew, A, that one doesn't have a drive-through, and B, I had to get out of my truck and go in and get it.
Yeah, not usually fast food. If I get a carryout at a restaurant, they have to bag it and throw in all the accessories and all that stuff. I'll usually give something, you know, up to 10%, a couple of bucks. But generally on carryout, I'm thinking more towards it's a no tip or small tip. On the other hand, I rarely only tip 20% on a sit down. I generally tip over. I don't think I tip less than $5 no matter what. I've eaten, you know, I've had $7. I didn't want a whole lot. I just got a breakfast sandwich for like $7 and still tip $5.
Fast food, no. Tropical sundae, no. Nothing like that. And I'm like Sean. If I'm at a sit-down and I get really good service, they usually get 25%. I do have some restaurants that I tip at 30%. And that's just because I either know the people or I know that the tips are shared between the, you know, the other waitresses that are really good. So that's about it. It's the only place I tip.
All right, so we're all on the same page. I just feel like the tipping culture is just getting out of control. There's a tip option on every damn thing I do. Anywhere I put in a card, it says, do you want to leave a tip? And it's like, no, I don't. Like, I just, when I was walking out of Tropical Smoothie, that was going through my head, and I was using the comparison of when I walk into Taco Bell and I order my food, I don't tip there. So why would I do the same thing at Tropical Smoothie when I order the app? Or ordered on the app, they didn't even have to take my order. All they had to do was make it and put it in the cubby.
Yes, hi.
Go ahead, Greg.
Good morning. I just tuned in. I'm with you on the fast food stuff, or the smoothie stuff. I wouldn't tip for that, but at restaurants, I like to tip fairly well. So, yeah, it's crazy. Anywhere you go, sometimes I see a tip jar or something, or it asks you, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I was doing a couple bucks at the car wash, too, but they're actually doing physical work for a tip. So, but they also make a regular wage where a waitress does not, so there's that whole bit. You got to take that into consideration. Anyway, back to last night, I guess, Sean, you got your antenna, is it 100% now, and what did it entitle you, or what did it take for you to get it there?
Oh, hold on a second, I'm just walking into the shop, let me jump back in here in a few minutes.
Greg, that's a very, very valid, good point, and I do the same thing. I always tip well at a restaurant, especially if the service is good. If the service is not good, I still tip 15 or 20%, even if they don't deserve it. But, yeah, they don't make, you know, they make $5 to $7 an hour. They live on the tips, so tip them well. That's why they usually do a good job. And, yeah, the girls at Tropical Smoothie are probably making 15 to 16 bucks an hour. I'm not tipping them for 3 seconds of work.
Yep, roger that. Exactly the same. So, yeah, tipping you for doing your job that you're getting paid for. So, I mean, I guess it doesn't hurt them to ask, but it leaves a poor taste in my mouth sometimes. So, yeah. Were you ever able to simplex with Sean?
That's like me walking around the office with a tip jar every time I fix someone's computer. No, we were not. It was weird, man. Like, he could hear me. I could hear him on his 9700 transmit. He couldn't hear me on the 9700 receive, but he could hear me on an FTM 500 receive on a different antenna, but I couldn't hear him on his 500 transmit. So, really weird. And it's probably, like you said, he's got a really bad noise floor he's trying to track down. So I'm wondering if that's why it's probably why he couldn't hear me, because he was only coming in probably S6, S5. So I'd probably be coming in something similar, maybe a little less, because I'm not pumping out 100 watts. So, I don't know. I could hear him great on transmit. He could hear me great on receive on the other radio. So, something weird's going on.
It is definitely weird.
Oh, all right. Well, so that tells me you're kind of fringe, or at the, you know, at the end of the distance there, but doable. And the weird part, yeah, definitely weird one. They're both pretty decent radios. Should work either way. tried all that back and forth in different radios and antennas. Hopefully it'll get smoothed out. If you can figure out your noise floor, Sean, it's got to be something weird.
Yeah, it's like S9, and I heard you, Greg, on the sideband net, but I could just barely tell. I'm like, is that Greg? I think it's Greg. I'm pretty sure. And it's like, I could, you know, if I didn't have that noise, I'd hear you just fine. But with that noise, I had a hard time. I'm pretty sure that's Greg. And then I heard you give your call, and I could make it out. Couldn't hear Chuck. I could tell he was in there. I could barely make him out. I could hear KT8M. I could hear him pretty well. And I could hear the two guys out of Canada the best. But, man, it was just rough.
Okay, yeah, you should be able to hear me and Chuck just fine. And yeah, the Canada guys can hear you real well, too. So your shot into that area is a lot better. Interesting. Hopefully you can figure something out. Wonder if you've got a lot of Christmas lights or something like that. And I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know if the conditions were exactly in your favor either for a good test. There's a double there, but or mostly Greg, and Christmas lights is a good idea. Never thought about that. Yeah, those could be really problematic. Grow operations are the worst, but I don't think I got any of that around me. Who knows? What were you saying, Dakota?
I was just saying, I don't think conditions were exactly optimal yesterday either for testing. Chuck sounded normal but quieter and kind of off frequency, and then Greg was the only one that was booming like he usually is, but him and I have I'm pretty confident him and I have a direct line of sight antenna to antenna because we can simplex on basically no power. And everyone else was a little bit quieter when usually they're in no problem. Like even the Canadians, I was having a hard time hearing, and I usually hear them no problem at all.
I can hear you, Dakota. I said if I stood in the right spot in my house, it came in, like, loud and clear. Joe, I heard a little bit. Sean, I couldn't hear anything. And the rest of the guys, I couldn't hear.
Yeah, so that, Tom, was when we were on FM. And that, I was getting ticked off because we were trying to do something there, and then the next thing you know, somebody jumps in, oh, you know, hey, and then another one, and then another one. And then all of a sudden, the three or four people that jumped into the middle of our testing took over. And I'm like, well, go ahead. Don't mind us. So I was a little pissed off about that.
Yeah, that was pretty annoying. I don't know why people can't just leave it be. But like you said, that's the worst frequency to do that on, but... Man, I thought it was going to be it. Can you hear me? Yep. All right, I can hear you. Okay, good. I didn't realize we were going to run into the snafu that we did. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe it is Christmas lights, Greg. That's a good point.
Hopefully it can be chased down because that'd be neat. Then we can all of us can try D-Star as well if we get it going.
Sorry, I had a quick phone call, but I'm back.
All this local repeater sideband stuff, I really am getting a fancy for a 9700, but not at $2,100.
You can't take it with you.
No, but I'll go quicker, and then I won't have my radio when I come home with it.
Morning, everybody. WABD. Sorry, interrupted.
Wally, didn't somebody on the Discord have a 9700 for sale used? I don't know if that's still available, but yeah, it is an LG, but it's a lot of fun.
That's beyond my scope of finances. Eventually, as days go on.
hobby's dangerous, man. It costs way too much money.
When I ordered my ton of stuff, it added up to be quite a bit of money, so I held off on the 9700, and then like 2 weeks later, I set it up, we would bite the bullet, and it jumped $300. So if I would have ordered it at the same time as my antenna stuff, I would have saved $300. Like, it was just the luck of the draw. I complained a little bit, but there was nothing to do, and I'm like, okay, well, here we go. Even more than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, you're probably, I'm trying to think what I'm into my antenna setup now. Probably $800-ish, $900, right?
Quick math, was about 900. And the mast was not, because I got the mast from Don's estate, Professor Don's estate. So everything, about 900 actual money in to get everything. So yeah, it ain't cheap.
It doesn't seem so bad when it's a couple bucks here and, you know, the antenna's $170, okay, no big deal. All right, I'll get the mast, it's $289. And then you start adding up, you're like, oh my God, could have bought another radio.
Agreed. It was just like, holy cow, you know, I thought, oh wow, but I got to put this mast to use. I held on to it for over a year before doing anything with it, and I'm like, okay, I can utilize this, and decided to do it. And then when I was said and done, I did a little math, and I went, holy cow, that was crazy. But I did get really good coax, and everything I did as best as I could. So I'm happy with it. It should last a good long time and be trouble free, I hope.
Yeah, I have no regrets. The coverage and the performance I got out of it is better than any base station I've ever had, so it was definitely worth the investment. I'm doing things I never normally would be able to do. Today we're getting calls for 24-mile-an-hour winds, so it'll be its first test of durability.
I have to keep an eye on mine as well. Just the two spots where it's anchored to the chimney would be the weak points, and they should be pretty strong, but never know. So,
I was looking up some wind load data. I think we'll be fine. Yours isn't up all the way, and the wind load on our antennas is next to nothing. And I was reading guys put hex beams and crap on the top of theirs, and they survive. So I think we'll be all right.
Roger that. Yeah, now that you got a picture of everything that you did and the setup that you have, and then add, you know, or subtract 10, 15 miles from that into the neighborhood here, you know, you're out there and doing well. So imagine if you were down here, how awesome that would be. So I'm really glad you did it, because you can join up with a lot of things now. KEA-VSI.
W-A-V-D.
I'm just trying to be part of the Cool Kids Club and putting that 705 to use, which I'm very happy about. That would really pain me if that thing just sat there as an HF rig for POTA, which I've done once in the last year. Go ahead, Wally.
Good morning. You're a little light on your wind. You're going to get a better test. I thought it was a little stronger. 20 to 30 with 40 to 45 to 50 mile an hour gusts, according to a clip on Detroit.com. I thought it was supposed to be a little bit windier than that. I think the west side of the state is supposed to get hammered really, really good with some winds. I think they even got a wind warning over there coming on, 55 to 60. So you're going to get your stuff tested today, that's for sure.
Hey, good to know. Yeah, before I fired up the radio here this morning, just sitting here in my chair, and I could hear gusting outside. We're not super strong yet, but I believe Wally's right. It's going to get up there.
Yeah, I just looked at my watch. I didn't look at the actual forecast, but Apple Map or Apple Weather says winds currently 15 from the west. Speeds are 4 to 22 miles an hour with gusts up to 43. So, oh boy, hopefully it holds.
You would think it would. It's just a stick, right? I mean, you would think it'd hold pretty good. It's not like there's a big sail up there or anything else. What amazes me is, like, when I was out in Utah here a couple, 3 weeks ago, I was watching them put up a cell tower, and those big panels up there, I mean, I'm surprised. I was thinking myself, okay, you know, like all the antennas that we're used to using, and it stopped that thing just a second. I don't know how to stop it. But, yeah, those big panels up there, now that would be a wind load, you know, the ones that you see on the cell towers all the time. But hopefully it was just a stick. You know, it's just, it would hold up well. I'm not sure what you've got up there. Right, Greg.
You're right. I can imagine the wind load on those cell towers. That's crazy. But they're different towers completely, so obviously they're engineered properly. Yeah, and ours are nothing. It's just a stick, but, you know, like you said, there's not much to it. This, like Dakota said, this is the first time anything real strong has come along, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think we'll be all right. It's only 1¼-inch pipe at the top, so there's really not much to push on, and it's round. No flat surfaces. My top bracket is about 22 foot up, and the mast is 34 foot up, so there's about, I'd say there's probably 10 to 11 feet of mast above my roof line, so there's really not much that's exposed.
Anyway, Sean, if you're still listening, I was still waiting, didn't get an answer on what it took to correct that antenna. Did you put a new end on the hard line, or did you run the LMR 400?
Give me a minute. I got weird things going on here.
Sure. All right, we'll hook up on another time and catch up on that project.
I get step out too. I hope everybody gets out of work early today. I think I'm going to scoot about 2 o'clock. So you guys all have a great day. Dakota, good luck with your antenna. We hope it's well. Sean, sounds like you're at work. And everybody have a good day.
Wally, have a good day. I'll talk to you. Happy Thanksgiving. And yeah, I just realized it's after 7:30, so I'm going to jump out as well and get inside and hopefully get the hell out of here at a decent time. So I'll catch everyone later. Greg, I'm sure I'll talk to you this evening or afternoon. If I don't, happy Thanksgiving. And yeah, let me know how your antenna fares. N8BBF.
All right, very good. Everybody have a good day and happy Thanksgiving. Sure, we'll chat with y'all in between times and get home today. The main goal today is to leave. KEBSI.
Better days than today for that.
hopefully it goes smooth.
Well, we're meeting at the office at 8 o'clock. That's on my way to now. He's probably somewhere behind me. And then we're going to grab the cameras and just go shoot right down there and start working on it. And it's 43 degrees outside. And, you know, if this rain is broken up, I think it's going to be gone by in the next hour or so. That'll give us time to get down there and get it done, hopefully before the weather starts again.
That's exactly what you should do. No dilly-dallying. You might hit that little break we get, because if you wait too long, it's going to step up again and then get real ugly.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I took on call this week because the person I was scheduled for it, he left the company, but now won't be back until next week. So I'm like, yeah, that's fine. So I'm going to family tomorrow, so I'll just take my work van down there just in case somebody has an issue with their alarm.
Roger that. Yeah, I used to do that myself. We're on a on-call rotation for many years, back when I was carrying a pager. But yeah, had to bring all everything with you on, no matter what. And sometimes you skate through, sometimes you don't, but that's how it works.
Yep, it never fails. Somebody needs something right away. And well, at least this new game is all-wheel drive. So that'll help. Plus, I sit up a little bit higher than I can actually see the road.
Oh, that's nice, all-wheel drive. Yeah, all right. Very good. Anyway, getting called away here, and I will talk to you whenever we get back to it. KE8 VSI.
Thanks, Jim. Greg, enjoy your morning. 73-KE8-KJO.
Good morning, 0800 hours, cloudy, 41 degrees.
Man, I'm never going to live down the meter maid.
Did you get a ticket?
No, but you probably heard me complaining about the parking lot. So, you know, we had it all restriped, and most of it's marked yellow, which is general public, and then there's white spaces that are marked that were, you know, my office only, well, in my training center, and they were supposed to get the message to all the contractors not to park in the white spaces, and they still were, because there's different contractors coming in. So I'm always out here playing parking lot patrol, you know, because I got to have spots to put the patrol cars, right? You know, they got to be up near the work area. You know, I can't be walking two blocks to go get a car that needs to be worked on. So anyhow, so I'm out here, you know, in the morning, you know, telling people they can't park and stuff like that. Everybody's laughing about it, you know, and getting a reputation to be the parking lot Nazi. And it just, it keeps going over and over. So finally I got the sign shop to come in. They're going to do some signs. And they keep, you know, they do it, and they lines they painted wrong, and then that had to all be redone. And every time they do that, I gotta call this organization, say, don't park anything here, and I got to call this one, and I got to call my people, and all this stuff, and then they cancel because of rain, and then they come out, and then they do it wrong, and they got to come out and do it again, and it's like, every time I call them and tell them, you know, it's like, they're rolling their eyes and laughing more, you know, and so now today, I'm getting signs, physical signs, because nobody gets the message of lines, and they said, make sure that all them spots are empty at 8 o'clock, so I'm playing, you know, parking lot Nazi again here to make sure these spots are clear, so when the sign shop comes and does my signs, it's open. But, you know, once again, getting a reputation.
Oh, man, that does not sound like fun at all. I'm wondering if you could put cones out or something to stop people from parking in there. And then the people with the right to park there would just have to move the cone. But still, either way, and I was going to suggest signs, and then you brought it up, so that's a good idea. Hopefully it'll help. I don't know if it'll solve it completely, because some people just don't care and park wherever, even if you tell them. Or there's a sign, but, and then of course, you gotta, the fact that you even gotta deal with it's kind of a pain in the butt.
Well, the worst part is most of the people give me ribbon about it, you know, I'm doing it for them, so that they don't have to walk, you know, 10 miles, and it's just that somebody's gotta make sure all these appointments and deadlines are met. You know, they set 8 o'clock, have them clear, so somebody's got to make sure that happens. I guess it's me. What I got better to do? Pick my nose? Anyhow, it's not a big deal. I'll be happy when it's done. And then everybody will have their spots, and we'll be good to go. I did have one of our people park there, and I very politely went out and I go, hey, I says, we need these spots clear. You know, I go to the sign shop coming at 8 o'clock to mark them. And he says, well, somebody should have had them marked then. I said, they're coming at 8 o'clock to mark them.
Oh, man, you just can't win. But, yeah, like you said, in the end, it'll all iron out. It's just growing pains right now.
I don't care. Just got to get done, period. So it's not the first time there's been a project like that where if you ever have to manage a project, I think you did in a former life, but when you got to manage a project, sometimes you got to be a pain in the you-know-what.
I definitely had to do several of those type things. And it is what it is. It's just like, well, why do I got to do this? And then you got to do it, and who else is going to do it? So, yep, I hear you. K8BSI.
All right, hold on. I got to make a phone call. I'll be back. WNFU. Okay, I got all my spots clear for my sign shop, and they're supposed to be here at 8, and they're not. Go figure.
Good morning, 0900 hours. Cloudy. 39 degrees.
WDHKLL-KF8-GIC.
W8FU.
Updated weather. Wind advisory. Good morning. 1000 hours. Cloudy. 38 degrees.
Is everybody already day drinking or what?
What, you haven't started already?
No, still got to work. Won't get into the day drinking until this evening. Then it's evening drinking, and it's legal.
Probably legal if you get caught, isn't it?
Man, lunchtime ain't going to come soon enough. Got to decide what to do. I might go to that breakfast place that we're going to do on Sunday. And go there for lunch as well. I don't know. Can't decide.
If you go now, isn't that going to ruin it for Sunday?
Nah, they got a fairly large and eclectic menu, so they can probably find something different each time.
Find the one thing you like, you just get that everywhere.
Well, I'd like to say no, but often I do. That's not the intent. I always intend on getting something different or special wherever I go, and I often do, but often I also don't. So it all depends on the restaurant. What I'm in the mood for.
Yeah, I've got the go-tos and then the sometimes. Hey, Baylor.
Nah, work. You gotta love it. WNFU.
KFA-TBC mobile monitoring. Also, we're starting to get some wind-related power outages. I'm at 15 in Utica right now. The signal's out. Meyer's gas station is down. A few other businesses are not operating right now. So be careful out there if you got to be on the move.
Good morning, 1100 hours, cloudy, 37 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, cloudy, 36 degrees.
WDAKLL N1KRD, how are you doing today?
WDAKLL. It sounded like Nick, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, you got it. It's Nick. What's going on, Greg? Am I coming in all right?
Yeah. Yeah, no problem, Nick. Sounding good. How am I sounding? I just put a new antenna on the roof.
Yeah, sounding real good. Nice and clear. Yeah, I was going to say I should be coming in all right because I'm on through All-Star here just on the HT in the basement. What kind of antenna you got up there now?
Oh, yeah, you're sounding really good. Yeah, I got a Comet 2x4. It's a mobile antenna, but I put a ground plane on it and stuck it on the chimney. So hopefully I'm sounding pretty good. I got 50 watts on the poly repeater. Probably don't need 50, but just figured I'd try it out here.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I got that antenna on my car. It's been working pretty good. Yeah, sounds good for you. Yeah, it works, you know, both 2 meter, 70 centimeter, and works good on GMRS too, so it should be good all around for you.
Yeah, good deal. I moved my radio equipment. I used to have it all in the living room, and I moved it all into my office, so... I missed having a radio out in the living room, so I stuck another antenna up there, and I'm using my mobile, my FT510, so I can do digital and the whole shoot match.
Okay, yeah, it's nice. It's hard. Sometimes, yeah, you got radio in the shack, and then you want to be able to talk somewhere else, too, so that's good. I got a Comet GP3, I'm ready to put up on the roof here before it gets too cold. I'm waiting on the coax to come. Hopefully it should be here any day now.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about that Comet GP3. Have you used that before or no?
No, I have not. I heard good things about it too, and so I just figured I'd give it a go. It's like 6 feet tall or something like that. I know they make like huge ones that are like 17 feet or whatever, but figured I'd go for something a little bit less of an eyesore, I guess. So I'll see what my wife says once I get this up there.
Yeah, Roger that. WDKLL for ID. Yeah, I think that's what they market that antenna for. It's, you know, for stealth or whatever. I think it's only like 3 or 4 foot tall. So that's a good thing. All right, Nick, I'll cut you loose here. I got some running around here to do for some last minute things and getting ready for Turkey Day. So thanks for coming back, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the log. WDKLL, I'll be clear after yours.
All right, Greg, yeah, good day here from you. Good time, so I got to get away from this computer and get something to eat here. Yeah, you enjoy your holiday, and we'll catch you next time. WDKLL N1KRD.
That radio sounds good. Great.
Hey, Jack, how you doing? Thanks.
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing good, Jack. Just put that Comet 2x4 on the chimney there. I was trying it out.
That's all you need. You don't need nothing else. You got everything else, so that's all you need. Which is doing a good job.
Yeah, roger that. Like I was telling Nick, I said, I missed having the radio out in the other room, so I just threw that up there and using my FT510.
so it worked out good. I was on 20 this morning, and there's a bunch of POTA going on. I got four more states, Jack, and I got all 50.
That's good. I was on 10, and I got two of them on 10. I got two callers on 10, and I put both of them on my QSD.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good deal. Yeah, I got one on 10 there, one or two, but it was pretty quiet. So I was just trying to get the four states I need. I guess Hawaii and Alaska is pretty difficult, but I keep hunting them.
Get them. Well, no problem. I don't know how many I got, but I haven't checked that out.
Yeah, I had no idea the awards that I had. I was looking on my logbook one day, and I seen the award tab, and come to find out I had, I don't know, three or four different awards already. I didn't even know I had. I just kept logging and stuff. But you got to submit them into QRZ, and they look at them and then post them. So one more or four more for 50 states, and that's my next one.
That's good. How am I sounding, by the way? Was my 2x4 inside the pickup truck?
You're sounding really good, other than just a little bit of popcorn. I'm assuming you're driving, so that's to be expected.
All right. Good talking to you. We'll talk again anyhow. I'm on my destination. KFA-DRC.
Okay, Jack, good hearing you from you, and drive safe. And if I don't talk to you, have a great Thanksgiving. KFA-DRC, WD8KLL, will be cool. Kilo Bravo 8, Whiskey 2 Alpha. Kilo Squad. Bravo 8, Whiskey Tango Alpha. Kilo Bravo 8, Whiskey Tango Alpha. QSY.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Cloudy. 36 degrees.
Sorry, Tom, I had the volume a little too low. What did you say about P25? Oh, you heard me down there?
Yeah, I heard you on P25.
cut off at the very end there. Where are you going to?
I got to get gas by the Oatio Palace, Lizette, and then I'm heading to Saginaw to a FedEx to replace some potion.
Okay. Well, as you probably know, it's really windy. Be careful. Somebody told us that they, we just came from lunch, somebody said they, restricting trucks from going on the Ohio Turnpike because of the high winds.
Yeah, we've been at since it started. We're doing cameras on a boom lift down at 6 and John R. Trying to connect that bike. My detective was trying to hide behind the building just to keep from blowing around, but we got the job done.
Wow, I would not want to be up in one of those if with this wind. It's just so freezing out here. But anyways, how you doing?
Well, now that the rest of my work is going to be indoors, I'll be just fine. So I'm going to run this motion up to Saginaw, slap it on the wall, and then boogie it on home.
All right, so just a quick trip up and back, huh, sounds like. All right. Well, it says it might start snowing this evening, so careful out there. It is snowing in Grand Blanc. Well, it's coming this way, I guess. Is it just flurries or is it coming down? Oh, it's coming down. All right. Well, let's hope it doesn't stick around. Oh, man, I had to drive to Cleveland yesterday in the rain. That was no fun. And then now it's just cold and windy. Interesting, I was in Cleveland and tried getting on their P25 system and nobody came back.
Be right back. You will.
Okay. Top it off. Catch you later, KPR.
Oh, sorry, I'm back. I had to. I was in the drive-thru and talked to my wife. She wants me to go pick her contacts up. So I can just grab her card.
Okay. Was that a drive-thru for contacts?
No, she's working drive-thru pharmacy. Or she's on drive through the pharmacy, so she saw that I was out and about and said, hey, can you, if you stop me, can you grab my card and run and grab my contacts from the eye doctor that are in?
Hours.
So I was like, yep, I will. So
35
she's off
degrees.
At 5 and 5, I think she said, but I think they're going to try to close early, she said. So she saw that I was out, so she asked me to grab her medical card and her debit card and run over and grab her contacts for her. So I was in the drive-thru waiting to see my wife. So now I'm headed to the eye doctor. And it is coming down.
Hey, DLH, mobile. The falling sadness has begun.
Well, I'm in Pontiac right now and I figure it's shouldn't take more than about half an hour to get here.
Why can't you keep this crap up by you, Drake? He's okay. It looks like it's kind of coming east from the west. Kind of swooping up this way from Lansing area.
You know, I try to keep it up here, or further north if I can help it. But, that's out of my control. And, unfortunately, my winter tires and rims were finally delivered at my apartment just in time. So I grabbed the jack from the shop, and I'm going to do that when I get home. So, looks like it's trying to freezing rain here. That's kind of ugly.
I think I remember down when I lived in an apartment down here, they didn't think there was rules against car maintenance.
And I'm just swapping wheels out, so it's not like nothing crazy. I think the wildest thing I've done in my car is in the apartment parking lot is replacing the power steering pump pulley, but that was because I couldn't drive the car anywhere else without that. The power steering pump pulley was all chewed up and everything, and every time you would try to put the belt on it, it would slip off, and then eventually the last time I put the belt on there, it shredded it. So I didn't really have a choice. Nobody said anything. So that means it's right.
Yeah, very good. Okay, I'm back in here. I was kind of in a dead spot between the Warren machine and mine, which is sitting in my house. So it's kind of a dead area there. So very good. Okay, yeah, it's been a long time since I had a second set of snow tires. By the all-weather ones these days. Reminds me of the old days when you had studded snow tires. Remember those? And I never had them. I remember my boss's vehicles, his 300 and Challenger, Charger, whatever. We'd always have winter, summer, and we had to do those on that, but I got them, you know, all season. And I got new tires on the truck, so I'm pretty happy that I finally got around to swapping, getting the new tires on the truck here, because the other tires, my old tires were, I knew they were going, but, and I was like, I need to get it done before winter, and so I'm like, I'm glad we got that done before winter. But, yeehaw!
Yep. Oh. I was super stressed out about not having my snow tires on yet. I've had to do a whole lot of work with the car lately, and so it hasn't really been drivable, and I've just been driving the work vehicle to work and home, and then all everywhere I've been traveling for work anyway. I've been so darn busy, I haven't had a chance to go or get the snow tires from the storage unit, and then they put out the winter storm warning, and I was like, we got a big problem here. I don't have all seasons. I've got summer performance tires for the summertime, and I've already driven in the snow once with those, and that is an experience that I will never want to ever have again. It was 15, 20 mile an hour on US 31 back from Benzie County, and even then I was struggling to keep it on the road, and I have all-wheel drive, so.
Yeah, I've got all-wheel drive, too. I got the Michelin all-sport tires, high-performance tires, but they're all-weather. They seem to do pretty good in this stuff. I mean, not great, you know, not like real designed for snow tires, but they do pretty good. Of course, having all-wheel drive is great. Love that.
Alright, not bad actors. I'll be back. W8FSO.
Okay. Have fun with that. But I actually have the Pilot Sport 4S's instead of the Pilot Sport All Seasons. I thought about putting the All Seasons on my new wheels, but they're staggered. The rears are slightly wider in the front. I've read that that doesn't really go well with snow. So I put the more sport summer-oriented tires on those, and then I still have the stock wheels, so threw some snow tires on those. Actually, right now I've got 3 snow tires in an all season because my spare tire's in all season, and one of the snow tires actually had the bead failed, so it won't hold air. And I've got a new one. I just gotta get it mounted. My buddy's got a tire mounting machine and a balancer and stuff. He would do it for me, so. 3 snow tires in an all season. I did it for 3 months last year. It'll be fine for at least a week. So. Yippee! NATDMH Mobile, Traverse City.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I used to have a Jeep SRT, which had bigger rear wheels in front, and I had a set of winter wheels and tires for that. Yeah, so I know what you're talking about. All right, I'm just about home here. Catch you later. And I'm assuming you have a lot of snow already up there. So good luck with that. This is KPR 73.
K8PR, NATDMH Mobile, yep. It's not sticking to the ground yet, but it's coming down, so. It's on the stick, so. Alright, I'm just about home as well, so. 73, NATDMH Mobile, in Traverse City. Holding on to is hanging on for dear life.
If that. I can't see. I'm about a half mile visibility. Half mile, almost quarter right now. Holy bejesus, it's blowing.
Yeah, it's not quite that bad up here yet. I was thinking about going to the climbing gym, but we'll see how the next couple hours go. I don't know if I want to do that.
It's got to be just a little band that I'm in right now. It's like doing banding. But holy lasers! Alright, so I got her eye contact. And while I've been out, Amazon has delivered, the USPS has delivered, and UPS all delivered. So I got packages waiting for me.
Woohoo!
Oh boy! Look at that, my snow tires are in the back of the carport. This is a wonderful day. I'm just not thrilled about having to be out in the snow putting them on. Oh man. What am I gonna do? Alright, Fred. I pulled in here, so. Time to go inside. Hey, Gilly.
Have fun. I'm going home, and then I'm going to make myself a chicken wrap. And then when Michelle gets off at 5, I get to show for her grocery shopping. So, 25. I get to come back out. WSS.
WDKLL.
Afternoon.
She's jobless. My son's working his butt off.
every day he times them how long it takes him to get home. When he used to call us, she had to be right there to supervise, to make sure, you know, she heard all the entire conversation. If she didn't like what she heard, she took his phone and hung up, you know, hung up on us and all this other stuff. So I said, enough of this. And I said, since you're not paying me for the phone, I said, you ain't going to use it. So I shut it off. I still have to make monthly payments on it, but she'll never use that phone again. And I locked it, and I locked the SIM on it, so she can't transfer it to another company.
Yeah, I don't know if it was that bad, but it was definitely, I felt like I could never be away from home. It was always, when are you coming home? Like, every time I'd go to the store, it was like, when are you coming home? When are you coming home? Or when I go visit my parents? You've been gone too long. It's like, you could never, be away too long. She always wanted me there. Like, if I'm working in the basement, I wonder, when are you going to be done? It's like, I don't know when I'm done, you know, it just, that was always a big thing that I couldn't stand. I never really felt like I could go do what I wanted to do.
Yep, that's how she is. I mean, anything that he had that was his personal belongings that he took from our house to put in their house, quote unquote, all his stuff is all in the garage. All her stuff is in the house, and the house is made the way she wants it. And his defense was, well, I like it too. I'm like, yeah, sure you do. Yeah, uh-huh. So I'm like, there's not one iota of something there that belongs to you. That's all her. Even his PlayStation is out in the garage. She doesn't want anything that was from his past life. Oh, Lord. Phone calls, phone calls, phone calls. I'll be back. KCKJ.
Is the boss giving you the nod? He be it with.
Oh, crazy. KCKJO.
Is it getting blown all over the road?
Oh, yeah. Thank heaven for lean assist.
Yeah, I woke up this morning because the wind was just whipping and hear it howling outside my window. And I was thinking about the kids driving across 94 and that, and how many trucks I've seen roll over on 94 that way.
Yeah, the same 40 mile an hour winds, and we got some good gusts. You know, but I'm heading up in your direction. I got to go to Saginaw, and I got to replace this motion real quick, and then I'm done for the day.
Yeah, it's definitely howling this morning. Luckily, they got there before the snow started.
Well, don't they text you when they arrive somewhere with their mom to let you know that they're safe?
She's supposed to text me or call me and let me know, but she has not done that, and I know they're there. So it's kind of a sore subject.
Yeah, I get it. Like I said, I haven't talked to my son since that whole stint just before November when I said I was changing car insurance companies and, you know, he needed to get his own car insurance and his own phone plan. I think that's another little rift between us. You know, so I had to do the hard thing and say, sorry, dude, I can't afford it anymore. See you later. Plus, you moved out.
Yeah, once you're 18, you're on your own. You don't need to be on our stuff. It was a big ordeal last summer, I think, that just, like, you're accusing me of stalking her. I'm like, you buy the I have the right to know where my kids are, so you need to be telling me, like, where you're going, where you're staying, and it's not I'm stalking you, it's I need to know where my kids are.
No, I had no problem with being on my policy, because before my son met this girl that he's with, he was on time with his bills to me, you know, because I'm like, all right, it's cheaper for you to stay on my insurance, you can stay on there, just keep paying me. And he was, and then he got this chick, and whatever she wanted, he got her, and spent all this money. Now he's broke, and he makes more money than I do, and like, I can't afford to pay you, blah, blah, blah. I let him skate for a bit, and after a while, I'm like, okay, I'm done. So, cut him off. And I said, his phone and her phone are under my opinion, but he insists for work, he doesn't work, I just shut hers off completely. Regardless if I get the phone back or not, but he's never going to use it again.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do. If not, I'm not paying their share. But, let them get their own. And try to how expensive the real world is.
That's what I said. I said you're not paying me for it. I'm shutting it off. And she comes back with this little rhetorical mark and like, oh no, don't turn off my phone, anything but the phone, blah, blah, blah. So she likes to use sarcasm. She's a narcissist. And she, you know, always comes up with an excuse for something. Oh, I can't feed my daughter, but yet they drove down to Ohio and got a brand new puppy. I was like, okay, so you can't afford to put food on the table, but you can afford gas, everything else, to drive down to get another dog that looks like a pure puppy. Come on.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's all too common. You get a lot of people that, you know, can't afford to pay rent, but they're not only eating fast food. They're getting it delivered, you know, DoorDash everything. And you can't afford to pay your bills. You shouldn't be doing the luxuries in life.
Correct, you know, but it's her, oh, it's, you know, it's her life and it's her money and she'll do whatever she wants with it and I have no say over it. I'm like, one, you don't have a job, so it's not your money, it's my son's money and you're spending it all and because of you, he has bad credit now. You know, so it's just a big rift and she tries getting to me and I'm like, whatever, but she has literally isolated my son from the entire family, you know, his mother, his sister, his uncle, his 82-year-old grandmother who's not going to be around for maybe another year, you know, so everybody, if she doesn't like who it is, she can talk to them.
Yeah, hopefully they can come around before it's too late. Yeah, and they'll be regretting it.
Yeah, she forced him to, you know, he's blocking everybody, you know, by phone, social media, you know, we don't know what he does, where he goes, or how he takes them in. He has literally blackballed us and put up this big huge wall that we can't see over it. So it's like, well, you need your bets, so you gotta land it. Maybe he'll come around, who knows.
Yeah, that's all you can do. Hope for the best.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's in a prison now. I mean, my wife can't even talk to him in private because she has to supervise his phone calls to make sure nobody says anything against her. Like I do. Like my wife does, you know, hear and talk down about her, and she grabs the phone and hangs up. I'm like, well, no, well, enjoy your life, enjoy adult. You want to be an adult? There you go. Good luck.
Trying to find my stuff for the turkey brine.
I just might not have things I thought I had.
What, you're smoking your turkey like Fred's doing? I'm just doing the old, paste it, throw it in the oven, let it cook for several hours.
Yeah, I've smoked the bird for the last, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years. Usually have two birds for the dinner. We'll have my mom will roast one, and I'll have the smoked one.
That's a whole lot of turkey. No, I just throw it in the oven and roast it. All right, time to put it into a smoker and do it this way. Plus, I hate being out in the cold. I don't even barbecue in the cold anymore.
Yeah, the smoker doesn't really take that much. It's about the same amount of time, I think. It's not too bad. I gotta get the brine going now.
All right, we're gonna go do that. I'm gonna go try to find my coworker. He's somewhere up 75 here. It's snowing. So, I'll talk to you later. Let me stand your final.
ABHNO, listening.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Cloudy. 34 degrees.
Anyway, DDF.
Happy Friday, Dakota. KED VSI.
Oh, I wish. Excuse me. I still gotta go in Friday.
Yeah, no, I know that, but kind of a Friday.
A day off is a day off, no matter when it is, so I'll take it. It'll be worse. I know Friday in the office is gonna be a joke.
Yeah, it's usually kind of a blow-off day anyway.
Yeah, so it's not all bad. This gives me Christmas Eve off, too, so I'll take that trade-off. What do you got going on? You playing any radio?
Actually, I'm syncing logbooks and finding duplicates and stuff like that, changing the way I'm logging my satellite contacts. No actual RF stuff, but that's what I'm doing at the moment. And I was taking a stab before I got sidetracked of setting up my FT8 so I could do it on my laptop outside of my office. It shouldn't be too hard, but I want to get this logbook straight first.
Little housekeeping here and there, never hurt anybody. I did a little bit last night, just cleaning off some code plugs on a couple of my HTs that I haven't used in a while. It's crazy how stuff just subtly changes. Not enough that it's a big deal and you got to do it right away, but it's in the back of your mind and you're like, I need to update this or merge this or whatever.
Exactly. I look at all this stuff. I was actually thinking about making a little, to-do list, including things like the logbook here. And, of course, there's many steps involved in that. So a little document would be included with that. And then, like you said, update code plugs, on how many radios and for what reasons. And And then, you know, a little hardware issues. There's still things I want to flip over, convert to power poles. And, you know, just little projects that it's like, I got to, they're just, it's never ending, which is fine because, you know, it keeps me busy. It's what I enjoy, but it's truly amazing.
Good thing repeaters around here don't change too often, or else I'd be getting pretty aggravated having to update all this stuff. That's why, honestly, I used to do it all by hand, and that was brutal. And then I finally bought into the RT Systems model, and man, that copy paste functionality is a godsend because you can have a master template, and the only thing you got to go mess around with is your digital channels because those are either DMR Fusion or D-Star, and everything I have is DMR or D-Star, so you got to go move those around. But yeah. I did that the other day. I got three of my, quote, waterproof, two of them are submersible, just dual band analog single VFOs that I updated. Why, I don't know. Some of the repeaters in there, I guarantee you I'll never key up, but they're in there.
I update on the fly as needed. And it's burned me a couple of times, not very often, though. And then if I were to do all my radios, boy, there's radios that sit here collecting dust. Just little cheap handhelds, you know. The stuff I use is pretty up-to-date, but it doesn't hurt to do a clean sweep on them all once in a while.
Yeah, and I mean, stuff doesn't change too much. But there's really two. I got an ICOM ID50 and my Kenwood CHD75. Those two are the only ones that I continuously update and make sure they're perfect. The rest, it is what it is. I don't really use them. And the same with, I don't remember the last time I updated my my mobile in the truck. I don't think I have in ever, maybe. I think I updated the firmware and that was it.
When I got my STM200, I bought the RT Systems, and I went through repeater book and several other references and just put in anything, you know, within 100 miles that I thought I would ever key up. And then I haven't touched it since besides manual entry. I know I manually entered the GMRS stuff when it came up, and then the Richmond repeater when it came up, and then that actually changed frequencies shortly after that, so that got updated. And I don't think there's been much else, but I will pull the SD card out of there one day and clean it up a little bit because things are out of order and stuff like that. But yeah, the mobile one kind of just been sitting there with very few changes. It's been 1 month, almost 1 month over 3 years that I've been a ham. So I've had that radio probably just under 3 years.
Time flies, man. I feel like I just was studying for that test not too long ago, and here we are. Yeah, I forgot about the SD card. My 150 has that. That's my favorite feature in a mobile or any radio, really, is just programming via SD card or USB cable. Like my 2730... that's in the bag in the case. That sucks because I got to plug in a cable that's in the back of the radio and then plug that into the computer to sync it or make changes to the code plug because it's an older, I don't know when that radio came out, but older style of programming. At least the 5100 has an SD card, but I guess for as much as I need to update this stuff, it's not that big of a deal. How's your antenna faring today? I'm kind of anxious to get home. I don't see anything in the camera on the ground, so I'm going to take that as a win. I just am more or less interested in, is it whipping around up there or is it just kind of wiggling?
Well, two things. On that radio in a bag, I'm wondering if you could just leave a cable plugged into it and have it kind of hang out toward the front a little bit so you can get at it with a laptop or whatever, or bring it into your house because it's in a bag. So maybe that's an idea to leave one on there. And honestly, I totally forgot about my antenna. I'm actually walking up right now, you know, look, so don't mind the wind noise. It is blowing like crazy out here, not one of the really stiff winds, but it's doing nothing. It's just kind of wobbling a little bit.
good idea. I'll order another cable and do that. But I don't know. How much am I going to really do that? If I have to undo the coax, which I'm going to change how that's set up, I'm going to order a different adapter so I won't have to undo that to take it out of the bag. So it'll literally just be pull it out of the bag and change the power or disconnect the power. But, yeah, I cheaped out on the Armalock. I didn't buy the SO239 relocation bracket and immediately regretted it as soon as I put it in the bag. So now I got to order that. But good. That's kind of what I thought was going to be the case. I'm a little bit of a pessimist, so I was more worried than I should have been. I thought for sure that thing would be dancing, but it's so thin. I think we'd have to have some crazy, crazy winds with some heavy rain for it to really start oscillating.
I can hear the wind in the house today. I normally can't. And there's been some doozies of gusts, but I have not been outside for those. Just by what I just saw just now, there's really nothing to worry about. I might step out a couple other times if that starts kicking up again just to see if I can catch one of them strong gusts and watch it. But I'm not worried at all at this point.
All right, well, if you're not worried, I'm not too worried either then. We have a very similar setup. I think I got a couple feet on you, but we should be good. I have a pulley on the topmost ring. I can't remember how high that is, but the highest section, there's that ring that you can clamp stuff to or guy. And I had a pulley up there that I was going to hoist my transformer up to, but once I got it up all the way, I didn't have enough coax for my HF stuff, and I was like, it's probably good that it's not pulling from up there anyway, and I'm not worried about the weight of the box, but just tying off the other end of the end fed, just having that little bit of tension on it, I didn't want it any extra lean, so it's a section below that, and I'm kind of glad I did that because it's actually shielded by the house.
Yep, I understand. Yeah, in any case, you would want a little bit of a bow, especially on that high one. Maybe not where you have it now, but on that high one, you would want a little bit of a bow if you were bringing the other end of that down to the ground. So if it did lean over, it's not really pulling. It would have a little bit of give there. I've got on mine, you've seen how it goes from the house to the tree and then to the other tree back to the house. On one of the trees, I got a pulley with a spring on it. And then on the other end, the far end of it at the house, there's a spring on that too. So if you ever do get it set up, wherever you anchor it to the ground or whatever, put a spring on that, and that'll help with that sort of thing.
That's a really good idea. I gotta let my neighbor know. He's got the same antenna I just ordered. It's a 130-volt end fed. And he snapped the wire once already, and then the rope that he used to get the end fed up there snapped as well. So I should tell him about that spring trick. That's a good idea.
Man, that's a bummer. My long wire snapped one time, it was because a large branch broke off my tree and fell. And actually, there's a fork in the branch, and it just hung right over that wire to the point where it broke it by the time I noticed anything. It's like, and there's really nothing I could do about that. So I ordered the new wire and put it up. But I guess that's the luck of the draw and where I'm at and how I'm doing it.
Yep, it's a gamble every time you put something in a tree. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to get, it's not going to be permanent. It's going to be permanent, but not permanent because I'm still going to have to cut grass. So I think I'm just going to run it probably straight out into the yard, which is east. And from what I've read, if it's not a quarter wave or higher above the ground, it's going to be a pretty much an omnidirectional radiation pattern. It's not like I'm going to be favoring one direction over another. And it'll be more NVIS anyway, which is kind of what I'm going for. So I'll probably just have it staked out at one of those electric fence stakes. And then when I got to cut the grass, roll it up. And then rinse and repeat. So hopefully nothing breaks it. I'll be the only thing that breaks it.
So you got a 50-50 chance then. Yeah, just put a carabiner on there and unhook it. And that's why I also have that on mine, a little carabiner. Not that I need it for, it's not in the way at all. But if I, why did I do that? Just unhook it, because if I lean my mast over, it will cross that wire on the HF antenna. So I unhook it for that. So the carabiner and the spring, so you can unhook it and have spring tension.
Nope, I like that. I get sick of tying and untying stuff, so that's another thing I'll do. It comes with a dog bone insulator. It's a Nelson antenna. You've probably heard me talk about them a dozen times. It's a dog bone insulator on the end, so I'll put a loop on it, and then I'll put a carabiner on that. So I'll be easy money. I can just undo it and then walk it up to the house and then cut the grass and walk it back out.
I'm familiar with the Nelson. I've got my antennas one. They're probably very, very similar. I've got the dog bone thingy on there as well, and that's what made it real easy. So I think I've got pictures of when I put it up. If I find that, I'll send them out to you. But, yeah, it's a good way to go.
Yeah, Nelson's the big eBay guy. I don't know how I came across him. He's out of Michigan, like Cassopolis, Michigan or whatever. I've had a handful of his antennas, and they've all been very, very, very good. So they're cheap, too. It's like $109. But I look forward to getting that up, too, because then I can actually play some HF with the 705. I could use, I bought that tuner off of ADOAD, but, what's it called? 88OD, my bad. But I just don't like using a tuner with QRP.
Roger that. I completely understand that. You want to be as resonant as you can. But even if you're like 1.8 to 1, you can tune that down with a tuner, and I think that'll actually help you more than it'll hurt you. My Elecraft, depending on the band, does 5, 10, or 15 watts, and it's got a built-in tuner, and use it all the time that way. It works fine.
All right, that's a good point. I need to think about that because the match probably... No, the match isn't good because it's like a weird 60-foot wire, so I don't know. But I'm replacing it. I'll coil it up, put it in a bag, and do something with it later or sell it or whatever. I've been a big fan of my resonant wires where I don't have to do anything to them. The one at my old house, man, that thing was awesome. I had it up so high that I don't think it mattered what it was. It just worked. But I remember I could pick up any QRP radio and jump on and make a sideband contact. Obviously, depending on the conditions, but this was also in 2023, so things were pretty damn good.
Yeah, that makes a difference, too. Yeah, I it's been a while since I put the VNA on mine, but it's real close to resonant on pretty much all the bands, but I do tune up. But, you know, that's on my iPig icon, so, you know, I got the power, and I'm real happy with how the antenna is. And I wouldn't change a thing. Even if all I had was QRP, I would still do it, and I would probably still tune it up just to save the radio and that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's no reason not to with your base station. Nothing. That's like a Cadillac. Use the features.
And I've screwed around and made mistakes, both accidentally and on purpose. That radio will not let you break it by having a bad SWR. I mean, when I was messing with the 6-meter antenna, or even trying 6-meter on the long wire where it wouldn't tune for nothing, I could turn it up to 100 watts and key up, and if it was, this SWR was infinite, and it would turn it all the way down to like 5 watts. You know, it just wouldn't do it. You know? So the radio, and I think your 705 would be the same way. It's not going to let you hurt it.
Yeah, they're good radios. I'm so happy with all my Icon stuff. I think I've come full circle enough times to just no Dubai Hycom from now on. They're my, aside from that Kenwood I have, which I'm not a big HD guy, so that's an anomaly, but their mobiles and their HF stuff is, I just love. But I am about to be home, so I'm going to clear out of here, and maybe I'll catch you this evening. Looking forward to playing a little bit of radio tomorrow. I don't think we have to leave until, like, I don't know, 2:30, I hope. But I'm sure everyone else is going to be busy. If not, I'll talk to you in a little bit here. Be clear for yours, NHTBS.
But you're on final approach there. Yeah, and tomorrow, I'm not sure what time we're leaving. I'm guessing around the same, too, but I don't know for sure. I'll find out. We watched the parade in the morning and just kind of bumming around, so I'm sure we'll be able to do something. Talk to you soon, KE8VSI.
Good afternoon, 1700 hours, cloudy, 33 degrees.
Everything is still standing. Very good.
It's standing, but it's moving a bit more than I wanted it to be.
Nah, things settled down and you get a nice day. Just go check the anchors on the house and to the pole. If they're still solid, then you'll be fine. I mean, it's already survived a half a day of severe stuff, so I'm sure it'll be okay. That's the way I look at it with mine.
Yeah, I'm going to do one more thing. I'm going to put a 2x4 backer on the wags on that top bracket, and then I think I'll be fine. My biggest concern at that point would be the mast folding over itself and breaking, which I think that would have to be a pretty gnarly windstorm.
Yeah, I haven't even thought of that. My concerns were the anchorage to the house, which yours are probably better than mine. But yeah, folding over and breaking, yeah, the thing's just, yeah, it's pretty strong. I don't see that happening. Not to say it's impossible, but I don't know. Sean's never has, so, and Professor Don, whose mine didn't either. But both of those are guide, I think. So, yeah, I don't know.
Time will tell. It just seems like it's that one, that last section, which I'm honestly debating lowering it down up maybe all the way, maybe 2-3 feet. It's just that last section that gives it that extra bit of flex to where it leans towards the east.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about there. The top 2 sections of mine, I think I backed them in 2 feet each, so I'm 4 foot lower than my max. And kind of for that reason, since you put yours up, I was thinking about doing mine all the way, and then now maybe not, because mine's pretty straight and sturdy, just by bringing 2 feet on each one in.
Yeah, I think I might do that maybe next decent day we get here. Because right now I'm cotter pin extended. Everything's fully maxed out. Cotter pins are in the grooves. But I mean, that's just what they're made for. I don't know. I don't even think if I guide that, like that, it's the topmost section that's bending, so you can't guide it. So I don't think that would even make a difference. It would still be bleeding from just the weight of the coax and the antenna.
Yeah, I hear you, and that's what I wanted to do. I don't have the cotter pins for mine, but I was going to order them and extend fully like you are, with no guys, though. So I don't know. Maybe we're overthinking it. I'm not sure. I'm just going to, personally, I'm going to let it run through the whole winter and probably just be fine and then make a decision in the spring.
Yeah, if I'm being honest, I'm probably going to do the same thing. I really do not want to get back up there.
If your case, nothing changes and all it is a little bit of wobbly at the top, and it works fine and nothing wiggled loose, then why would you change it?
I watched this thing the other day. I don't know how, I mean, I know how it came up in my YouTube algorithm. It was like climbing 2,000-foot towers or 1,000-foot radio towers or TV towers, and it's like, they're designed to flex. So, obviously not to this degree, right? You can't have compounding lean that tall. And those are guys with a little bit different, but they are designed to flex. So, I imagine something on this smaller scale with only 1.25-inch pipes, if it was rigid, it would take enough wind load to just bend it over itself and that would be the end of it.
Agreed. Yeah, they are designed to do that, kind of like an airplane wing. It's weird when you think about it. You go, that thing's not completely rigid. No, they're not. So, but to try and bend them yourself, they really don't on a small plane like I had. But and I put on a 747. Those things, if you ever watch the videos on those, how far they can bend up or down is amazing. But the forces it takes to do it is crazy. So. Yeah, within design, so I think we're okay.
Yeah, my biggest concern is the house, so I'm just gonna leave it. See what happens.
I hear ya. House, mouse. You can always buy another one, right?
Yeah, it's no big deal. I'm gonna do that though, for sure. And maybe while I'm up there. Make an adjustment, but the downside is I got to get 22 feet up in the air to do that, but I'm going to just put a 2x4 on the back of that top rack, and then I know I can sleep at night no matter how windy it is. The only thing that's going to break is that top section of antenna.
That's not a bad idea. That's and you have a spot to do that, so, yep, sounds like a good plan. Sean yesterday, and you mentioned all those people kind of piled up and trying to help and put in their 2 cents worth and then eventually took over. Was that on the repeater, the FBI, or was that on a simplex frequency?
No, that was a two-year call, and I could barely hear them. Unfortunately, I couldn't make out what they were saying.
Oh, all right. Well, we got to make a habit of not doing it on the call frequency when we're testing and playing around. That way we can avoid that sort of thing. And then use this Who Cares Hub as a back channel. That's probably the best way for everybody to not be bothered by others.
Yeah, I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was going to be a quick, you know, radio check, so to speak, and then it got weird quick when we couldn't hear each other, and then he called out, I'm like, oh, there he is, and then I called out, and he's like, I can hear you. I'm like, what the hell? And then that's when we started to figure out things weren't good, and then everyone else jumped in. So, yeah, we need to have an off-air dedicated frequency that we can QSY to, and no one knows.
Exactly, so. We'll keep that in mind for next time we try.
Yeah, hopefully he's able to get that sorted, man. That's got to be frustrating as hell, especially with a 9700 at the base.
I got interrupted there. Say that again, please.
said, I hope he's able to figure it out, because that's got to be frustrating, getting that all fixed, and then you got a 9700 at the base, and it's still not working right.
For sure. I think it's something he'll be able to figure out, though, because I know he's operated in the past before with it, and this seems like it's a new issue. So hopefully it's something around the house making noise or Christmas lights or something in the neighborhood that he can figure out and possibly isolate.
Man, I hope it's not one of those, well, we'll wait till January things until it goes away.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Why don't you guys join the repeater crawl? You guys are triple, double, plus, plus.
The Friday call still going on, or crawl. KEATFM.
Oh, I'm sure it is. KFATA.
I missed that. Is there still a crawl going on now?
I don't know. It used to happen at 6 p.m. on Friday.
Oh, okay. I never really got involved with one or even really monitored one. I'm aware of them, but I would be curious who does them and how do you find out about them?
Which club's doing the crawl?
Well, I think you just need to scan repeaters, and then you'll hear them. And then you just join in on them.
All right. Yeah, I imagine if some club's doing it, they would post or something. But if anybody hears of one, let me know, because I'd be curious.
What do you think? The guy that jumped in there? The guy that jumped in there with a whiny voice of saying, why don't you guys join that? Repeater crawl would have had more information instead of just his comment. Hey, Dave, do you have... voice over IP SIP phones?
Yeah, I do.
Wasn't that Dave in there?
Yeah, I don't know. Am I making it through?
My Verizon connection. Do you have or know of a cordless voice over IP SIP phone?
Yeah, Grandstream. Grandstream, all one word. I think the latest model is like 836 or something like that. I don't remember. You have to go Google it. But Grandstream.
You make a cordless VoIP phone that you can put on that VoIP service?
Yep. Yeah, it's Wi-Fi. So all you do is, you get the phone and then you put it on your Wi-Fi and then you go in with your web browser and then you configure it. So, yeah, it's pretty easy. If you're familiar with the Cisco one, it's the same deal.
Yeah, trying to get my mom's spectrum bill down to a reasonable amount, and that was one of the things that, but she's got to have cordless, so. So I, everybody said to ask you, so I'm asking you.
Yep, that's a good brand, Grandstream. They're the only ones that I know of. There's probably other ones out there, but they, yeah, it basically looks like a cordless phone. And if she just wants to be able to pick it up and dial, you know, you could just set it to the default or whatever, and it should work as long as, you know, as long as Wi-Fi is working.
You set it up Wi-Fi, or that's how it gets its connection? It doesn't have a hardwired connection?
Well, you have to find a provider. You know, Sean can tell you where to get that VoIP MS. That's what he uses. But yeah, it's network. It's an IP phone. So you gotta hook it up. It's not wired. Not wired at all. It's Wi-Fi only.
Okay. Let's see.
Yep, self-contained unit, and, you know, if you were in the car, I mean, you said your mom's using it, but if you were in the car with it, you can actually, like, connect it to the hotspot on your phone, and it would work.
Well, I think as you've used them before, that you probably would want, you know, multiple cordless phones, because, you know, you get lost in the couch, and blah, 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 you know how it goes.
Yeah, you can even get fancy and set up your own extensions, like one is one and one is the other. But that takes a little bit more work. These aren't, like, really easy solutions to do. You got to kind of, like, you know, the same way if you play with the Cisco phones. If you've ever set up a VoIP phone, where, like, you know, businesses or whatever, it's the same exact way. The only difference is it's using a Wi-Fi connection, and you got to go in and tinker with it and set up all the settings. So, I mean, I would probably play with it first before you hand it over.
Well, is there another solution? Could you, other than the Uma has a box that converts it from back to the regular phone line, so she just use a regular cordless phone. That's probably another option as well, right?
Yeah, you know, I thought this was for you. If it was for you, I would say, well, I'll just go get one of those Grandstream phones and do this, but I haven't used them in years, but a long time ago, Linksys used to have I can't remember the service, but I cut the Ma-Bell cord. I transitioned to one of these, like, little Linksys routers, and it was exactly what you were saying. It converts it into your old phones into the, whatever, into the voice, you know, so it runs like your normal thing. That probably be the best solution, to be honest with you. I mean, that's all the cable company's doing, is they're just bringing, they have a little phone jack in the back of their cable box, and that's how they're giving you phones to the whole house, so nothing's stopping you from getting one of those services.
Signal's a little getting on the fringe, sounds like. So, yeah, I'm thinking that probably be better than trying to mess with a VoIP cordless and go that way. Like I said, because she's got Charter now, so that's how they're doing it. Bringing it in on the cable and plugging it into the back of their unit. Just have to find a unit. Somebody's got to make one, a current model, I would imagine.
I'm over by the window, but I think with this wind, it's like bouncing the antennas around. that route, we're out there to say use mag.
Magic Cat, Pinky G's Magic Cat for years. You remember that. I don't know if it's still... I don't know how cheap they are, you know. You remember back in the day, Magic Cat.
Yep, you keep dropping out. Alright, well, I just figured I'd pick your brain. See if, you know, on the cordless, or then I got to thinking that, well, going the other way, I wondered if there's anybody that makes a current box. I think I've seen what you talk about on the links and stuff. So, that probably still could be done, but the, really neat if somebody was making some current that you could take to any wipe service.
Try a better radio. Is this better signal?
Gooder. It's gooder. Well, it was. I mean, I could hear you and you weren't dropping out.
Yeah, I think you're not connected up to Sean's network, because I was trying to dial in there. for some reason, I wasn't hearing you over there. But anyways, yeah, I would just, you're going to have to do some research. I honestly, I'm not up to date with what the best thing is. But yeah, if you want to use your old landline phone, I know they've got to have one of those, like, little adapter boxes. But, I mean, you can get fancy, and you could just get all voice over IP phones, and you can sign up for a voice over IP service. But then, you know, then you're going to be sitting there configuring all these phones just like a telecom engineer.
I don't want to get into that. It says the Flying Bear is connected in here, so I don't know.
It might be my end, too. You stay away from radios too long, you forget what you were doing with them. So it might be something I got goofy over here. So. All right, I better let you go. I got to feed my kids. But, try those solutions. See what you can come up with. It's not that... I mean, if she doesn't want to use a cell phone as her only phone, that would be the solution to go with.
I got a cell phone too, but I've got to have multiple. You never know. One drops or whatever. Should have charged your cell phone. Now you know how it goes when you get older. Age 3, so. Can't really falter for too much of that stuff, but. Anyways, yeah, well, if you stumble upon a VoIP to conventional landline box, you can take any VoIP provider, let me know. Talk to you later. Give it up to here.
Yeah, we'll do. Hey, yeah, Feta.
And it'll be you, give it up to here.
Tell you later, Sunshine Mobile, Grandpa.
Working on his Peter. He got a rodent in it. Took out the controller.
So, I'm sorry, what?
Well, I said, I'm just getting to Bertrand. I'm on my way back to the yard, because I stopped Home Depot. And Mike is probably going to be out here. He had to go out and find out that there was a rodent in 404, made a mess in it, and he cleaned it up, and he's out working on it right now, getting it back installed, so hopefully it'll work again.
Oh, so you guys, it was the rodent that took the 404 out?
Yeah, you have to check the repeater here, it sounds like it's got an echo.
Whose repeater said it sounded like an echo, sorry?
Road took the 404 out after I said it.
because you repeated what I said. Hey, it's working, sounds like, for now. I'm sure that he's going to turn the ports back on here in a second because he was going back out there and lost the courtesy tone, you know, the beep. Lost some of that stuff, but hopefully it'll live and we'll still have a Sunday night HF now.
Well, cool. Hopefully, the beep is the only thing he loses, then not the end of the world. You can put his beep back in.
Yeah, he's got the other one. What's the other link? Club Deluxe or whatever. That one's in Lansing. Runs a TF2000 back to Dansville, so we probably could do something about that, put an audio pop in there. But don't know why 508, the last couple weeks he's had to go out and reboot the, was that a Raspberry Pi or did we put a white box in there?
I thought we put a wise in there.
Well, last couple of Sunday nights, it's shows it's connected, but it doesn't pass anything through. And once they reboot the box, then it works again.
Well, that can happen if the USB gets funky and doesn't reattach properly. Rebooting basically restarts Asterisk to reconnect to the USB dongle. You know, Asterisk is fine, but the USB interface isn't.
You can set a timer in there that reboots it every Saturday night?
Probably could, just haven't had a need to. I need to go up to Davidson, don't I? And then right or left? Right, I gotta go that way. Okay. Sean and I are headed to VG's. Just can't remember. I came up Irish, and I'm like, I can't never remember if I gotta go east or west on Davidson, and I gotta go east.
What, are you having a big Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow?
Tomorrow, no. Friday, yes. Having friends over and all that Friday.
My invitation must have got left in the mail, or wait a minute, maybe I'm not your friend.
You're welcome to. It's kind of my wedding part. Our wedding party friends from, you know, we kind of only really see each other about once or twice a year kind of thing. I see you way more than that.
Oh my.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. If it's not hard to do, it might help the frustration situation. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, with all the RF that is running around his little room there, yeah, I need to believe that the USB fob is every now hitting something in it, click on it. And come and disconnect it, so, alright. But, actually, I've seen Mike and Patty a couple times this year, so, yeah. They're coming Friday, but we all, the same people that came last year. So, we're doing that Friday, and the show's off tomorrow and Friday, actually. So, my parents were like, you're not doing anything tomorrow? I said, no. So, Michelle's off and I'm off, and I said, we got no plans tomorrow. Friday's a whole other story.
I probably would have came last year, too, but my invitation probably must have got lost last year, too. So, you know. Oh, man. What do you do? Yeah, well. I don't know what all runs on that white box. If we're running, I don't know.
I thought we put a light box in there too, but I don't know what it all works either. I think it just runs 408, so I'll have to look. I kind of think Gobbler's going to come back tomorrow. I kind of got it in my mind I'm going to try tonight to deploy Gobbler network-wide.
Degrees.
Yeah. Probably about time to change some announcements, too. Do something different.
I ain't got that part yet. I'm on vacation. Although I did go to the office, but it was to get my mail and checks and all that so that I don't have to go Thursday or Friday down there. Clean the snow.
Yeah, gonna have to get some can't fiber in the boys' house too, I don't know. You can get fiber there, I don't know how that all comes in. Does that come in on fiber or what all that? I guess he made some phone calls and he can get fiber to the house. Have to kind of plan for that too, probably.
Hold on a second, I'm dropping Michelle off. Alright, I drop Michelle off at the door and then I go and park.
So this place is busy too.
It'll come in fiber. And then just, you know, he's supposed to put cat. It'll come into wherever, you know, usually where your network termination comes in for your phone and power and all that. And then it's up to you then to run Cat5 or whatever elsewhere. But you said you were gutting the whole first floor. Now is the time to think about where, you know, it's easier to run the Cat5 now than put the drywall up.
Stuff's probably going to go in the center of the house, so I don't know about all that, where that's going to come in, the house and stuff at. Thought about just running a conduit over to the garage, attached garage, and then be able to pull the fiber through that or something. I haven't got that far, but yeah, I thought about running some Cat 5 in the house around different spots.
So usually where the meter, power meter is at on the house, if you run Smurf tube from there to where he thinks he's going to put, you know, if he's going to put like a little network room or center, you know, your boy, you know, wherever the structured wire set is going, run Smurf tubing from there to where the power meter is, because usually that's where they'll come in and put the NIU in, is where the electrical services come in.
Charter cable comes in on the opposite side of the house, but doesn't mean that's where the fiber's going to come in.
No, exactly. If you wanted to, did they have a landline phone too, or no? Because wherever the landline phone usually came in, and the power is usually where a lot of the fighters are coming in and putting their NIUs in. Kind of deal. Smurf tubes. Just run some Smurf tubes from there to the different spot. And it's that flexible Smurfy junk and called Smurf tube. And then once you run it, you can even put a pole line in with a vacuum now or later. But I think if you talk to ZGL, besides putting Cat 5 in, he also did Smurf tubing to different locations around the house too. But I don't know if he did like Smurf or if he did Flex. A little bit more rigid flex, because then he can pull, you know, suck lines, different lines through if he needed to. I've been seeing some houses do that, where they'll do Smurf tubing to all the way from the central wiring spot and then out, so that they can pull either Cat 5 or fiber or replace, you know what I'm saying, in the future without tearing out the drywall.
You run that and Cat 5, or would you put the Cat 5 inside that?
No, if I'm running Smurf tube, I would run Cat 5 next to it. I wouldn't even bother putting it in there because, you know, Cat 5E or Cat 6.
going to have some sort of a use, and then the Smurf tube could be for future proofing or replacement. When you got the walls open, Jeff, like that, run as much as you can and think about it. Yeah, that's one thing I wish, my house is finished before, but I think what we did at my house works, but yeah, if you got the walls all open, run as much Cat 5 surf tubing as you can.
Smurf, as in little blue Smurf guys?
I've seen it in blue, yeah, and I've seen it in orange. I got a 100-foot spool of it in orange for work. I think I paid $20 for it, so it comes in different diameters and things, but I've always called it Smurf tubing. I don't know who told me that, but it was always Smurf. It wasn't just because it was blue, but most of the Smurf tubing I have is orange, but I have seen it in blue. I would, however, not just run one Cat 5. If you're running Cat 5 to places, drop two. And if it's like an office area, drop quads, because that's, one's always never enough. I'd even go as far as, like, a kitchen. I think you gotta think things like that, because what if you put a phone, like an IP phone over in the kitchen, or, I know everybody has cell phones, but, or a TV in the kitchen. Most, the less things you put on Wi-Fi, especially because everything is, and also think about your Wi-Fi AP placements, hardwiring those back, but yes, I know the Roku sticks and all that. Put all that stuff on, the more TV media devices you put on TV, the better off A, the Wi-Fi, and B, the TV experience will be in the house.
For sure. That is for sure.
Just remembered I need to open up my iPad so I can show it. Going to text me a few things for questions. Send me a picture, I'll tell you. That's what I'm thinking or not. I just realized we're excited. Turn the iPad screen on. Are you on your way home yet? You said you were back to the yard.
Off at 81 right now. So what time are you going to be here tomorrow to do the install?
You're funny. I'm staying home. Michelle and I have a day off together in my vacation. We have 2 days off, but Friday doesn't count because we have company coming. But tomorrow, Michelle and I are going to take a day off together. I'm sure we'll do some house cleaning, but I don't plan on doing much of anything tomorrow.
You went from friends to company.
Same difference. They're friends and company or whatever. I do know I don't have to see my father-in-law today or tomorrow or whatever. His dance card, he had 3 invitations for parties, so he informed us that, he wasn't able to have dinner at our house. I'm thinking, I don't think we were even saying we were going to have dinner at our house.
Hey, jump off with fuel in. Give it up, sir.
All right, just sit here. You're a good husband. Give it up, sir.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Good evening, 20:00 hours. Cloudy. 31 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours. Cloudy. 32 degrees. Good evening, 22 hours. Cloudy. 31 degrees.
And 1 KRD.
Good evening, 23 hours. Cloudy. 31 degrees.
Greetings from New Zealand, Zulu Lima 1, Juliet Oscar Bravo. 01 Jerry B, listening Kilo 8, Foxtrot Bravo, India. Standing by.